welcome to Sbroilfcast, the English language Sbroilfcast podcast that nobody asked for. My name is David.
And I'm still tired from the weekend.
Really? That bad?
You
reckon?
I slept for like 13 hours on Saturday night.
Really? Yeah. I did what you said would be a heroic thing. I went home, got a shower and went back out again.
Oh, how was that?
It was perfectly pleasant. I wasn't out that late till maybe 9:30 or something like that. But yeah, it was nice. Saw some people I haven't seen for a bit, so yeah, that was good. But yeah, oh, cool. Sunday I was pretty knackered though. Yeah, didn't do a lot.
You had to sit through. You sat through an Aberdeen game, and
I sat through an Aberdeen game on Sunday. That was going to be one of my hots. One of my nots, actually, listener. That was pretty dire, as Aberdeen failed to break down 9-man. St. Johnston.
It's like sympathy, absolute sympathy pains there. You know, like, you're watching my team and I can't even watch my team because I promised my girlfriend I'd watch Junior Eurovision.
I'm not sure which one of us got the rawest deal.
Can I just say, I'm not going to talk about Junior Eurovision because this is a football podcast. However, if you do get a few minutes, please check out Kazakhstan. The Kazakhstan entry came second and this boy's energy is fantastic. It's just great. I mean, I feel him on, you know, several levels.
Right.
Not on a Prince Andrew level, but like, you know, normal levels. So what have we got in store on this football podcast, David?
Well, on this football podcast, we have a look back at the game against Pardubice that we went to on Saturday that was jolly good all round. We've got Beer of the Podcast, we've got Hot or Not, and we have a new section called A First 11 of Players Who. We've got two parts to that section, so that will be introduced as a semi-regular feature, depending on when, if we can be bothered to do it again. But yeah, it's all jolly exciting and a nice way to round off the first half of the season. So let's crack on with the Pardubice game. So, your horse boys.
Indeed.
They were horse-tastic. I mean, no, they weren't.
Should have worked on this.
I couldn't really... I was trying to think of puns I couldn't really be bothered, to be honest. And after last week, we had to rein it in anyway.
Absolutely.
So, yeah. Another 10:15 a.m. Kickoff, to which I got a message from Ian, my mate in the UK, Ian Morton, shout out if you're listening, basically going, what the fuck? Like, he keeps seeing these Sbroilfcast Facebook, at Sbroilfcast on Facebook and Twitter, by the way, posting all this stuff about early kickoffs, and he just texted, much, much respect to all of you who went, you know, and keep doing this for second division Czech football at ridiculous times in the morning. Because it seems utterly nonsensical, but
I really want us to not keep doing that. And the best way to do that is for Zbrojovka to be promoted to a division where every team has floodlights and things like that. So if we could get some cooperation from the club...
It would be immensely helpful if they did their very best to make sure we're in a division with floodlights next year.
I just don't think I can go through the early hours of Saturday morning again. It was not pleasant.
Mm. Yeah, you were pretty hanging, weren't you?
Just don't go out and drink cocktails until like 2 in the morning, as I'd say.
That's not general advice, that's just pre-10 a.m. kickoff advice. Anyway, about the game, we got the part of it. It's windy, wasn't it?
Windy.
Very, very windy. And this kind of, it set the tone for the game. It wasn't a classic by any means.
No.
It was pretty scrappy, mainly due to the conditions, but also because for the first time in a while, Sbrovka put up a bit of a fight. They seemed really up for it.
There was, quite a lot to play for in this that we pointed out last week. That we sort of said that, that this game is probably just going to end up being a shit fest because you've got two teams that are really on form at the moment and you have a lot to lose. So when, I mean, Pardubice could not finish, could not not be first.
Yeah.
So if they could lose and they would still be top of the table, as awkward as my wording was there. And Zbrojovka had had a real chance to go third, particularly because several games went our way, including the night before with Vitkovice heroically managing a point against Jihlava,
yeah.
Which meant that it was entirely possible that we could be third. And Dukla as well, who ended up losing to Hradec Králové. So it was a real chance there.
And we initially didn't take it. Rusek had the first half chance of the game, but it was those horse boys who made the breakthrough.
Yeah.
On 11 minutes, Zivchak gets the ball slid through to him. Barish makes a sort of a half-hearted tackle, but he's already gone to ground and it's in the penalty area. He can't really risk clattering into Zivchak. So Zivchak sort of shrugs him off, slides the ball home past Floder, who's sort of rushing out.
Yeah.
It was a decent finish. It was right in front of our end.
Nice move left. Yeah.
John missed that goal because he was in the beer queue, unfortunately.
Yeah, he's really taken on this Zbrojovcast experience by being in a beer queue and missing goals. This happens quite often.
It's what we do. It's a Gentleman Ultras / Zbrojovcast trademark.
This is why you need two of us to do this podcast. Not because we're pals, but we need...
That's a happy coincidence,
yeah.
Really.
But one of us will probably see one of the goals.
Yeah. Then what happens? Well, 6 minutes later, the Iceman sets Folsek free down the left. He dinks across him. And everybody is actually watching Sedlak, who's made a run from midfield and is standing in the middle of the area. He's got three men on him. And Folsek's cross goes in. It is a nice cross. It's, it's a floated cross rather than a driven cross. And making a fantastic run, Prichistal ghosts in at the near post. Nobody's near him. He's come from miles back. And that is the finish of a man on form. He comes from absolutely nowhere. Nobody's picked him up. His timing of that run. And it's not even a particularly powerful header. It's just enough to sort of flick it delicately in at the near post. It's a beautifully finish.
He needs the angle of that. You could do that cross another 10 times and every time you'd get it wrong. But that was
it just sort of kisses off his head and sort of, sort of ponks happily into the goal. It's really lovely.
Yeah.
So John missed that one as well because he was still in the beer queue at this point. Good beer, by the way.
It was decent beer. Yeah, local.
Yeah. Yeah, it was nice.
It took a long time to get served because it was our fault. We took way too many away supporters.
200 and some away supporters. Yeah.
For 10-15 on a Saturday is, I'd say, a pretty good effort for this division.
It was a superb effort. It really was. And I'm guessing one sort of bemused man in a hut trying to serve beer.
It was a couple of them, but they have that problem where there's two windows, so half of it's serving the home fans as well.
Right, okay, so yeah. Mm-hmm. Anyway, so it's 1-1. After half an hour, Pliky Styles sets sent free again. Has a speculative effort that flies into the crowd. A lot of wind-assisted passes, attempts, and so forth. It was we cannot stress how windy it was. Just before half-time, the ball is hoofed forwards by, I think, Schmid. It's headed down into the path of Rusek. The defence hesitates. Rusek hesitates. Mm-hmm. And Prichistal comes steaming through the crowd, takes it off Rusek's foot, and sort of knocks it home. Like, again, a man absolutely flying confidence-wise. He just comes in. Just defence isn't watching him, comes in, but basically takes it off Rusek's toe and just goes, I'm having this.
It's mad, because defence for both powder bits of goals was pretty poor.
Yeah.
And because of that, we have now scored 50% of all goals scored against Pardubice at their home this season.
Yeah. It's just the reinvention of Prichistal under a manager he knows and trusts is just he's now, if you can believe it, top scorer for us.
I can
with six
probably
now.
Believe that, yeah.
Yeah. It's incredible. Second half was an absolute battle. Again, wind playing a part. Mm-hmm. Pardubice pretty clearly rattled. Oh,
it's a bad-tempered second half.
It really was a bad-tempered second half. Also, I would like to shout out Michalak for being incredibly proactive, making a substitution on 32 minutes.
Yes.
Shumbra off, Kurushka on.
Mm-hmm.
Michalak basically saying it was half me making the wrong selection and half Shumbi just not looking up for it, not really coping with the conditions and stuff like that. And that is an incredibly brave, proactive thing to do after half an hour to take somebody off.
It's definitely not Shumbara's game. And in a way, it's not our game. Because this is one of the first times, with the exception of a team like Jihlava, where we had very little time on the ball. One thing that Pardubice were absolutely excellent at was closing down anyone who was, you know, had the ball, and you had seconds to make a decision. And they were, you know, they just keep running at you.
Yeah.
And the positioning was really good, with the exception of the defense. And they did look like a close, tight-knit unit. That being said, the conditions just turned it into a game that I don't think suited either side.
No, it was... Yeah, a lot of it was more through luck than judgment. A lot of lucky bounces here and there.
It was a Schuster game. It was a route one, get the ball up to position sort of game.
Thing is, though, I have not seen Bono scrap and battle that hard in an away game for a long time. Take the Zizkov game.
Yeah.
As a point. They were dire. And that was in nice conditions, sunny day, not a hint of wind. They were just crap. They didn't look like they were playing for the match. They didn't look like they were playing for each other. And this was a real battling performance, which Michalek said afterwards. It's like, that was the most important point. I knew it was not going to be quality, but I wanted them to scrap for every ball and play for each other. And they did that. And that was what he was most pleased with, is that they really seemed to be coming together as a unit. Second half was an absolute battle. Part of it's a finish with six players carded. We managed to get four in the book. We never looked massively troubled until the 87th minute, where Jirka Floda had to be absolutely alive to scramble across the goal and claw away an attempt. Sticks out a big right hand.
It's a wonderful save.
Throws it out, tips it over the top corner of the goal.
It looks a good save. In the crowd when you're watching it, because this is, again, all, it should be said that all Brno goals and this save came in on the other side of the pitch from where we were based, and you do have to go and look at the highlights to see to really, you know, get an appreciation of things like, you know, sort of the touch, and you know, like Krista's header is a good example of that. But like, the save is just fantastic because he can't see it.
No.
He's in front of... And it's not that high an effort. It's one of these efforts that's creeping to bend around the post, and he must see it super late.
Yeah, and
it's
also...
Wonderful reflex.
And also to actually get a hand strong enough, because, as you say, it's not fast, but it's going in. To actually sort of scoop it over the bar, rather than, you know, he doesn't even push it back out into the crowd. He really scoops it over. It's a big, strong hand. It's a fantastic save. And during the celebrations, after the game, when the players come in front of the, you know, travelling fans and blah, 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 and they all, you know, sing and dance or whatever, they all go into the dressing room. And about 3 minutes later, Floda comes back out, looking utterly overjoyed, bouncing up and down, big grin on his face, and just, he is absolutely buzzing with that. Lukasz, Paruka, afterwards, he was saying that for the first time ever, they, as a group, they looked utterly overjoyed, didn't they?
Yeah.
They were fucking bouncing. A lot of them.
Quarter of an hour out there after the full time.
Yeah.
Like high-fiving people, talking to people, just like it felt like that meant a lot more than just another win. I think that people are starting to, or a lot of this team are starting to buy into that.
Yeah.
You know, of the end of last season, thing, mm-hmm. where there was this belief around the squad that they can go anywhere and get something.
Yeah.
And you really need to see that, because away from home at 10:15 in the morning, it's always a case of which Zborovka side's turning up.
And it's generally the dreadful one.
Yeah. And the mediocre one is the one that usually gets you some results. And that was a team that just really did believe in it. And if you can be that bad, to be honest, and get 3 points against the league leaders away, I'm all for this.
Yeah. Again, cliche, but mark of champions, winning ugly. And I haven't seen us win ugly in a long time. Yeah. At home, we play some beautiful football, yeah. and we've been sort of sweeping very average teams aside. Yeah. I haven't seen us win ugly away for a very mm-hmm. long time. And everyone just looked absolutely overjoyed by the whole mm-hmm. thing. So
it's another away game that we won after conceding first as well.
Yes, that's true. Yeah, exactly.
Good comeback.
Yeah, good signs. Right. After this break, unless you have anything else to add particularly?
Nothing. I liked all the peacocks that were out, because they weren't out last time we were at Parma Nizza, at the castle.
Okay, so we have got, after this, the first of our two-parter of a first 11 of people who. So
let's find out who.
Hooray for that. So this is a new semi-regular section called A First 11 of Players Who. This is your idea, isn't it?
A semi-regular section, if you like it. If it falls and it dies in its arse, please tell us.
Well, I would like for this first one to spark a bit of debate, because a lot of you who will be listening will have been fans of this team for quite a long time. Those of you in England will not know almost any of the people I'm talking about, which is a shame. But hopefully we will get your own suggestions on social media, at Zborovcast on Facebook and Twitter, and so forth, as we say every week. But I'm going to give you a first 11 of players who, this is like a best first 11, in my opinion, of players who I have seen play for Zborovka live. Because I've been here a lot longer than you, so I've seen the evolution, but devolution mm-hmm. of Zborovka. From back when it was Prvni FC Brno, of course, back right. in the day.
All right, Grandad.
It's no Stavo article, Brno, let's be honest. Well, but
what is? What's your favourite article? Mine's the definite. Before you start off, David, may I inquire, have you gone for a particular formation?
4-4-2, because it's the one I've seen them play most.
Okay, good.
Right. So, in goal, we have got Dušan Milicharek. I have done a subs bench as well, so there is a goalkeeper on a subs bench.
You did a subs bench? Oh, I did not do a subs bench
because,
for my one.
Because there needed to be sort of honourable mentions, I think, for people.
Uh-huh, okay.
Milicharek, purely because we've had good goalkeepers, but they've tended to be taken away from us or have not been in the best form of their lives when they were playing for us. Step forward, Venta Hladký, who has been pulling up trees in Scotland but was not particularly great with us, mm-hmm. or he was taken before he could evolve into the goalkeeper he is today. Mm-hmm. Milicharek, great command of area, very proactive after some of the goals, like if you compare him to some of the goalkeepers we had had before. Fullbacks, we have an absolute dearth of fullbacks. Looking through old squads, I was reminded of how our central defence has often been brilliant, but at fullback we've really struggled. Left back, Petr Čolpek, still playing somewhere, I believe, at the age of 109 or something. But he was decent enough. He was back in the Prvni FC days. Right back was a toss-up between Kuba Jugas, who went on to do great things, but I can't remember seeing him that much mm-hmm. at Brno, or, and this is how poor it really is...
But please, like, I'm you're not going to say it, but please say Chico
Gomez. Please make it Chico. I sort of wanted to throw Chico in just for the fun of it.
That would have been amazing.
It's going to have to be Kuba Šural, purely because I like him as a right back.
Yeah.
He's not a centre-half. I like him as a right-back. He's still young, and there is a good defender in there somewhere.
I was honestly wondering when you were doing this, like I was thinking about this today, is like, is there going to be any member of this side in the thing?
he's it.
Yeah, actually, that was going to be, yeah.
Two centre-halves, and these are the two centre-halves because they were a combination at one point, mm-hmm. and a glorious combination they were. Jan Trosil, who is possibly going to be my captain as well, and Petr Pavlík, the original Petr Pavlík.
Original Pavlík,
the
yeah.
original and best Petr Pavlík. You know, massive, very 90s beard. It was a good look.
It was so. Just very quickly on original Pavlík or whatever, one thing that we didn't mention in the Pardubice game was I really liked Petr Pavlík coming on with about 3 minutes to go, and his first contribution was just like leathering somebody.
Yeah. Taking lessons from the original and better Petr Pavlík. Left midfield. Mm-hmm. Marek Sresti, purely because for 18 months he looked like an absolute world beater. And he was very... I don't know if he actually played, but he definitely called up to the Czech squad while he was with us.
Is he not on the back of one of your shirts?
He is on the back of my Podmy FT shirt, yeah. He was known as the Czech David Beckham, briefly. Not because he was that good, but because he changed his hairstyle every week.
Had a lot of sex in Brooklyn.
Yeah. Right midfield is a bit of a cheat because he's an attacking midfielder, like a central attacking midfielder, really, but we did deploy him on the right. Mm-hmm. Marek Heinz.
Uh-huh.
Far and away the best player I've seen in a Brno shirt. Just off the chart good. Far mm-hmm. too good for us. And a beautiful player to watch. Euro 2004 veteran and goal scorer in that competition, of course. Mm-hmm. Two central midfielders, which make us look a little bit light in central midfield, but by God, we're creative. Uh-huh. Zav.
Of course, Pavel Zavadil.
And Tomasz Polak.
Yeah.
Who was the prematurely balding little schemer who was in midfield next to... Well, he was in Strestik era, and there was a time when he was playing next to Risha Dostalek, who was a candidate, but I only saw him when he came back and he was about 36, which is why I couldn't go for original Jan Polak, because I hadn't seen original Jan Polak play like I hadn't seen young Richard Ostalek play. So they didn't count. So Zawadil and Polak in central midfield. Mm-hmm. Up front, Kuba Reznicek.
I just knew one of them would... I thought there would be Reznicek, and I thought there'd be Zawadil, Melcharek, and everything else was going to be a surprise to
me.
So.
Reznicek, two great years for us.
I mean, absolutely.
Really, absolutely. Lovely. Like, just... Right time, right place, 15 a season, quite happy.
An exciting player because he wasn't really that exciting. He just did
his basic job stuff
well. Yeah.
Yeah. He sort of oftentimes he didn't look like a footballer, which kind of gave everyone hope.
I mean, that his brace against Dukla will be one of my favourite away moments.
Absolutely.
Like
yeah.
following this club. So
and joining him up top, Milan Patsander. Mm-hmm. Absolute quality. It was a toss up between him and René Wagner. Both relatively similar players, and an honourable mention to Ludek Zelenka, who formed a fantastic partnership with Milan Patsander for a couple mm-hmm. of years, like a proper big man, small man combination. On the bench, I have got Martin Leysal, who was my other goalkeeping mm-hmm. possibility. René Wagner on the bench. Mario Holek, who was very good before he left us to go to Ukraine. And played for Dnipropetrovsk, or whatever. Ondřej Vaněk.
Oh, you've got Uncle Vanya. Okay.
Yeah, Uncle Vanya. Kuba Jugas, if he doesn't get into right back over Kuba Shural, mm-hmm. you can make your mind up for that. Aleš Šuster, we uh-huh. needed another centre-half, and he was very good indeed. And possibly a little bit controversial because he's seen as kind of an enemy, but I
Milan Lutonski.
No, I quite liked him. Mikhail Rabushits.
Okay.
Who was very, very good when he came through, scored, looked really special, and then sodded off for Sparta and he was never forgiven. So that's my first 11 of players who I've seen play Forsbrovka. We're going to have a break, and we're going to have Beer of the Podcast. It's a beer, it's a beer, it's a beer, it's a beer of the podcast.
Yes. It's Beer of the Podcast, David, and it's a bit of a disappointing one, I guess. I was working late, mm-hmm. so I had to just run to Sklizano. Uh-huh. So we have big surprise. It's
Where is Sklizano in town?
It's behind the steps.
Behind the steps.
So, you know, or up the steps. You know the steps that on Benešova?
Yeah.
It's just there.
Oh, right, okay.
So the Costa Coffee.
Oh, did not know that. Okay.
Yeah. It's there. Fair enough. It still sells very expensive foods and drinks.
Yeah.
And this is a Lucky Bastard Blonde, which I believe is some sort of pale ale.
Yes.
I've lost my senses somewhat.
Yeah, all right. Well, yeah, Lucky Bastard Blonde. Lucky Bastard do good beers, so we can dive into this beast. It certainly looks blonde.
Looks pale.
Yep. I it cannot be denied. Gin. Ooh, smells fruity.
Oh, no.
Very... Oh, you're not going to like this, are you? I think you may have... Go on.
I may have gone into... I think we've gone into IPA country.
Yeah, I think we may have.
Absolutely wasted. Shout out UK Simpsons.
Mmm. That is fruity as hell. What do you reckon? Dead air.
It's... You know what? It's actually okay. Because it's not... It finishes very weak. The thing about the IPAs that I hate is that really intense hoppiness, and then it sort of carries on to the finish, and it just sort of like it leaves me sort of it's like dry almost, and it's like I can't deal with that stuff. And usually my barometer for drinking most beers, and to be honest, this includes sours, is whether or not I can drink 10 in a pub. So IPA is not great for that. Not a session.
True.
But this is actually okay.
This is tasty. Yeah, this is perfectly serviceable. Nothing spectacular, but
nothing spectacular.
It's nice. It's fine.
It's reasonably fairly priced. It's it's a microbrewery sort of thing. So 90 crowns for what is this, a 750 or a litre? I think it's a litre. It's okay.
Absolutely perfectly fine. Yeah.
So if you're tuning in for an amazing beer, listener, I'm sorry, but it's a good beer.
That's not what they're tuning in for. They're tuning in for red hot football chat.
Is that right?
And also junior Eurovision advice. Uh-huh. That's why most people are here.
Man, the Kazakhstan boy. Kazakhstan boy, he's got a suit and it's like it looks like the Kazakhstan flag. Just watch it.
Right, here's our second First 11, that sounds a bit odd. Our second First 11 of Players Who. And it's yours, and it's a First 11 of Players Who.
Of Players Who could win the FNL, I suppose, without any Zborovka Brno players. So what I think is, if I had to pick an 11 of anyone in based on this season so far.
FNL fantasy football, but without Zbrojovka.
Exactly, this is who I would go for.
All right, fair enough. Because I'm very bad on players from other teams. Like, I recognise names, but my like in-depth research is not good, so I'm quite looking forward to this.
See, this is the one thing about being the research guy, is that being the research guy for Zbrojovcast means that I do watch highlights if they're up and things like that, or look into team squads and.
Can I make one prediction?
Go on.
Klobas is going to be there.
Well, let's just wait and see.
your silence says more than real evidence ever could.
I'll be honest, I almost didn't.
Really?
Yeah. Right. I took a lot of time on this, and I changed the formation several times.
Shout out Sam's work for giving him the time to do this.
I know, right? And everything just got really busy later on. This has been a 2.5 day job or whatever.
So
I've gone for a 4-4-2 as well. And goalkeeper. This could be maybe surprising to some people. I don't know, because you're supposed to go for someone like Nicholas Schmid, who's in the Pardubice goal, but he has been sharing with Jiří Letáček because he's been injured.
Mm-hmm.
So I didn't want to base a keeper on half a season.
Okay.
So I've gone for Hradec Králové's Radim Otmar.
Okay.
Matrix jokes aside.
Yes.
Yes. He's had a nightmare against us before, but how many saves he's also made against us is one thing.
Mm-hmm.
And he has kept clean sheets in 50% of the league games he's played so far.
That's good.
So, good shot.
Decent.
Stomper.
Yeah.
Now, this won't be too surprising, I guess, in terms of, like, if we'll start with centre-backs, I've gone for a pairing of Martin Schävel and Martin Tomil
Martin Shavel of Pardubice.
Both of Pardubice.
Who, Shavel, I didn't mention earlier, was the person from whom Florida produced his fantastic 87th minute save in the game against us just now.
This is recognising how good they've been at the back so far. Yeah. So neither of these guys are fancy players. They're solid defenders, get your laces through it sort of players. And I think that they've, you know, are a part of, you know, what has been a really great team effort for Pardubice this year. Left back is Hradec Králové's Otto Urma, who I've name checked a few times before on this podcast.
You have,
A trusted player for the past two seasons and hasn't missed many minutes since arriving from Teplice. Plenty more games in him as well. He's 25. I thought he was a bit older. Right, I think he's got bags of energy. You know, it's in amongst the goals sometimes, but it's just generally a very good left back. And, you know, you were talking about right backs in Zbrojovka.
Right backs in the league generally.
Harder than you think. Yeah. And normally you'd be like, okay, so who are like Dukla or Jihlava playing? But then they rotate because they don't really have good right back. And you have like midfielders and stuff there every so often as well.
Barish.
Like Barish. Yeah, so no true right backs. What about a true right back? So I've gone for Trinets' captain, Ondřej Kušnir.
Yes. Kušnir used to play at a higher level than this, I believe. I can't remember.
What titles?
Yes. I'm leaving a lot of dead air because I can't bring to mind who for. I want to say Slovan? No?
Sparta Prague was the correct answer, I'm afraid. Okay. Sparta Prague and Rapid Bucharest.
Ooh, all right.
He is coming to the end of his career. There's a season or two left in him, but experience. I want my team to have some experience. So, you know, there you go.
Enough,
Okay, so I've gone for, you know, 4-4-2, so four midfielders. On the left, we supposedly a central midfielder, but Lukáš Holík has spent most of his season on the left for Dukla Prague. Very good. Bagged a goal against us earlier this season. He's versatile, which is important. You have to be versatile in a Dukla Prague team who have done everything from a 3-4-3 to a 4-5-1 to all sorts of things
sort
so
of a,
far.
A sort of a mad 3-5-2 when we played them.
He's a solid pick. Two centre midfielders. So I've gone for Jan Hladík of SK Líšeň.
All right.
Another player, technically not where he's most comfortable in the park, but they're playing in the middle. He's doing him well there. He's picked up scoring now that Marek Winter has trailed off somewhat,
and that's
the reason that Marek Winter is not in the squad. He's only a goal behind on five, I think, Hladík. It's also a good story. So this is a player who has been with the club for a while. He has played MSFL football. Mm-hmm. He's been promoted with Líšeň. And he's doing, I'd say, admirably so far in the second tier of Czech football.
Good.
Central midfielder two will be no surprises to people listening to this show because I think Adam Vilkanova is Hradec Králové's best player. Yeah. Attack-minded midfielder. He's been goalless in the last few games, but the good thing about Adam Vilkanova is that when he's goalless in a couple of games, he makes up for it in assists.
Yeah.
So really good player there. A player that will, if you know Hradec were to be promoted or goes to another team or whatever, he would do absolutely fine. And then after that, I'm putting him with the best Jihlava player at the moment on the right, which is Tomáš Šmejkal.
Yes, yeah, very impressive against us, actually.
Yeah, again, 25.
Yeah.
Like, 25, winger, gets loads of assists, he gets a bundle of assists. Like, he's on, like, 8 or something like that for this season so far. Gets in amongst the goals.
There are so many players on this list that would happily step up to a kind of lower mid-table first league side.
Yeah.
These two in particular.
Yeah.
You know, if you were, let's say, you know, Česká Budějovice or Karvina or, you know, whatever, Boss, you would be sniffing around these sort of players.
What's really interesting, just as a quick aside, what's been really interesting is how poor David Ledecký has been since he went up to the first tier.
Uh-huh.
Really? Like, Ledecký's not really doing anything so much in Česká Budějovice, at least not at the start. I've not really been paying much attention to Čebe recently, but they've they like won 5 in a row, and then they drew 3 each with Sparta. So,
the Matěj Vidra of the Czech league, as it were. Too good for the championship, rotten in the Premier League.
Man, I mean, there are worse people to put up to the national team, to be honest. So,
well, yeah.
Well, I mean, 2 forwards, of course. We'll just go, yep, Stanislav Klobása. Yeah. He's been out for the last few games due to injury, which is why I was very close to picking...
it's not really his fault, though, is it?
Yeah, I was thinking of picking somebody else, and I was going, like, I was thinking of 4-5-1s. It was mad. He's still the league's highest scorer.
Yeah.
So, you know, great acquisition from Mladá Boleslav at the start of the year. And I've gone for a very, very bad front two because they're both just sort of scorers. You know, they're not
right,
ones
yeah,
to play
yeah,
off each
yeah.
other. So this might... this is another one from the past, actually. It's Lukáš Matejka from Ústí nad Labem.
Oh, crikey. Okay, fair enough.
They are quietly putting together a bit of a season, Ústí.
They are. They're not that far... What are they, 6th now?
They're 7th, but only because they lost... I say they're putting together a bit of a season. They lost
not
to...
Not as good as they were last year.
True, but I mean, this is where they finished last year, you know, ended up
true,
in this sort
true,
of place.
Yeah.
And they lost to Slavoj Vyšehrad at the weekend, and before that they lost to Žižkov, a better Žižkov. I almost put Lewis Gill in, just because it's Lewis Gill, but we're unfortunately Žižkov
you gotta
3.
Put Gill in the team.
What about Gill?
Gill? He's gotta be in now. Come on, man, put him in the team.
So, sorry, Dan and other Žižkov listeners, but Matejka has scored... 2 more goals. He's on 8 this season.
Mm-hmm.
That's 2 more goals than he scored all of last season. And he is carrying
wow.
that team
okay.
in a lot of ways. And, you know, I quite liked the look of Ústí last season. They kept a lot of their players. So, you know, it's, you know, before they had this loss of, you know, to Slavoj, who they should be, and Žižkov, mm-hmm. who I think it's about even. Like, they were on a run of 4 wins, and
yeah.
they've just gone up the table. They started terribly. Season, but what's it now?
All
so
right.
that is my 4-4-2. That's my FNL dream team.
All right, good
which
stuff.
Which I really enjoyed doing in work the last couple of days.
Cool. We're going to have a small break, then we're going to have a hot or not, and we're going to play you out with an English language song sung in Czech.
Getting hot or not in here, so keep on all your clothes because it's quite cold and you haven't got the central heating on.
I have got the central heating
really?
On.
Really?
Yeah, I've just got windows open as well though because it like I like a bit of airflow.
I'm feeling so hot, I want to hear your hot or not.
All right, because mine are very short.
Give me a hot.
You already said my hot in the intro. Peacocks.
Oh, no, did I?
Yeah.
I can't believe I spoiled that for you.
That's all right.
I'm sorry.
Yeah, my hot is peacocks. They're brilliant. That's all I've got, really.
All right.
We went to Pardubice Castle after the game
yeah.
for a bit of a walk around. I sat on a cannon, commanded some peacocks.
Wow.
And peahens.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You pissed near a goat.
I pissed near a goat.
Yeah,
that's true.
Good.
Yeah,
there was a good
yeah.
cat there as well. I like the guy, the goats. I like the peacocks.
Yeah,
animals are good.
Yeah, goats, peacocks, and cats. The goats, peacocks, cats. All right, that's my hot.
Good. I like that.
You got hot there.
Yeah, this won't surprise you, David, because I messaged you about this. It's Robbie Savage. He's 45, but he's still got something to give. And so he's signed for Stockport Town of the North West Counties League Division 1 South, which is Tier 10.
Good on him.
I was a bit more excited at the time because I thought for a moment that he'd signed for
Stockport
County.
Yeah. He's just a shit Jamie Cureton, really,
yes.
isn't he?
I've got updates about this.
Because
you know
then.
He got signed on Sunday. He played on Monday. He played yesterday, David.
He's not a shit Jamie Cureton. He's a shit Craig David, if anything.
he's
signed on Sunday. Put on my boots on Monday. Went into training on Tuesday. Wednesday and Thursday. Friday scored on Saturday.
I refuse to believe there's much training involved, but he was keeping it real by coming off the bench to play the last 10 minutes.
Oh, savage.
Last 10 minutes of a 3-2 home win against Oswestry Town, who are top of the...
Oswestry.
Okay, all right. Good. Right. So the prospect of Savage making his making his return attracted a crowd of 225, which is Stockport Town's highest league attendance in the league.
Okay.
Bonus. Do you want a bonus?
I'd love
two
a bonus.
Bonuses.
Yeah, go on.
How many? He didn't get booked.
Okay.
So how many yellow cards has Robbie Savage received during his time playing in the Premier League?
Absolute shit ton.
89.
That's yes. He was an absolute shit house. Like. He was sort of Jimmy Bullard before Jimmy Bullard was Jimmy Bullard. But he was much longer lasting because he was an absolute wind up merchant. Like, he was a decent footballer, not a great footballer, but he was a decent footballer. But he was a complete shithouse. He just lived to wind other people up, I quite like that. Again, he's one of those people that if he plays for your team, you love him. If he's anywhere else, you think he's a complete twat.
Yeah, I mean, the difference between him and Jimmy Bullard is that I would probably like have a good time with Jimmy Bullard in the pub.
Yeah, I'm not sure I'd have a good time with Robbie Savage. Yeah. He seems quite up himself.
Would you like a second bonus about this game?
Yeah.
So, how did you pronounce it, Town?
Oswestry.
They fielded Steve Evans for the game, who's a 40-year-old and former Total Network Solutions player, who has also been capped for Wales. So you had two players on each team who had been capped for Wales. And Steve Evans was capped in 2008 while he was at Wrexham and became the first non-league footballer capped for Wales since 1930.
That's lovely.
How's that for a stat?
I'm very much for that. That's good.
So good on that. Very good. I was pleased with that hot this week.
Yeah, good one.
He's a knot.
All right, I've got a knot for you. It is... Sam Allardyce and the chippiness, victim mentality and Little Englander bitterness of a particular group of managers. I'm going to call them, thanks Atletico Mints for this, the British Managers Lunch Club. There have been a lot of, well, one sacking and lots of talks of sackings in the Premier League over the last week. Yeah. Obviously, Poch got binned by Spurs and Mourinho came in. Solskjaer's looking a bit wobbly. Emery, Pellegrini, Marco Silva.
They're
you know, one game away from being given the boot. And Sam Allardyce, of course, is on TalkSport because because it's TalkSport and it's Sam Allardyce.
Oh, was he with Moose? Moose is the worst one on TalkSport.
And his argument... And he's used this before some years ago. The best way to get a Premier League job if you're British is to change your name to a foreign name. If my surname was Aladicio, I would have been given a job years ago.
Okay, boomer.
Yes, precisely. So
Aladicio.
Yeah. So, Sam, one major managerial change in the summer was that really small club Chelsea... giving unproven English manager Frank Lampard the reins, whose previous managerial experience was taking Derby County from the heady heights of sixth to sixth in his one season in charge. And he gets a Chelsea job. That's not a small job. As well as, and ready for a list of British managers far better than you in the Premier League right now, Brendan Rodgers, Chris Wilder, Sean Dyche, Eddie Howe, Graham Potter, Roy Hodgson, Steve Bruce and Dean Smith. Almost half the Premier League managers are British. That's just you being bitter and angry. Sod ya.
And to also, I mean, again, I wouldn't call a brilliant manager, but also there's rumours going about that Everton want David Moyes back. Who is still...
This is my other point. Remember the last time a massive club appointed a British manager? That went very well indeed, didn't it, David Moyes? So that's my knot. Have you got another knot?
I do. It's on a very similar vein. So my knot is the lack of shite football-related patter in this current election cycle.
Okay.
Okay, that's... so like one of the best things about politics comes from politicians pretending to be into football. Right, so this is why
Cameron supporting Villa.
Yeah,
apparently.
Yeah, while telling you to support West Ham in a speech. Yes. Yeah, I love that sort of stuff. I love people trying too hard to be like the common man to go. And we've not had enough of that yet because we do have some people who are genuinely into football.
Who is the bloke who was the guy who was genuinely a Burnley fan. He was
Campbell.
He was Blair's, yes. Alistair Campbell.
I mean,
genuinely a Burnley fan.
I mean, Jeremy Corbyn routinely puts in early day motions or whatever, you know, commemorating Arsenal achievements and things like that. Yeah. Of course, the Speaker of the House is, or the former Speaker of the House as well. Big Arsenal fan as well.
Brilliantly, Mo Molum, Coventry City.
Yeah. Oh yeah,
yeah, because she's from Cov, mm-hmm. Old Mo there.
So, in light of this, would you like to know, or could you guess, some clubs that MPs either genuinely support or maybe pretend to support?
Or have professors. Okay. So this is taking the form of a small quiz.
I've got the name of six MPs or politicians here, because one of them is not actually an MP. Two of them aren't MPs actually.
All right.
And you've if you can think.
All right, I'm for it. Okay.
So we'll start with maybe an easy one then.
All right.
So we're going to start with MP and all around good guy David Lammy.
Okay, David Lammy.
Would you like to know his constituency, David?
It's somewhere in London. No?
It's Tottenham.
Right. So I'm going to say he's an Arsenal fan.
No, he supports Spurs. Oh, he's very loyal, and he seems to genuinely actually support
Spurs. I was gonna go maybe, you know, standing for Tottenham but supports Arsenal. That would have been quite funny. But okay,
David, do you genuinely believe that he's a football fan?
David Lammy, yeah.
I'd say absolutely yes.
I can believe that. Yeah.
Okay, Michael Gove.
Christ. It's either going to be another London club for the populist thing, or it's going to be somewhere like really ridiculous to make him seem like a normal person, which he's not, clearly.
So where's Michael Gove from, David?
I don't know. Where's he from?
Michael Gove was born, lived, and went to university in Aberdeen.
Right. Does he profess himself to be a Dons fan?
No, it's QPR.
Yeah, again, London.
Has been seen at QPR games.
So West London then.
Boris Johnson.
Well, now, he was MP for Henley-on-Thames. So it could possibly be Reading. But probably not. I'm going to say Chelsea.
Okay. Boris Johnson, and this isn't a political podcast, right? But Boris Johnson's a shitebag, and you should try and vote him out. Please stop this man being Prime Minister. And this is another reason why, because this is so I was fucking London Mayor, isn't it? Doesn't really have one, but is said to support all London clubs.
Oh, get out. Get in the sea.
As a bonus aside, Jacob Rees-Mogg doesn't like football, but his kids support Liverpool. Anyway, spotted in Liverpool shirts. Only three more to go. Do you want good guy or wank next?
We've had two wanks, so I'll take a good guy.
Nicola Sturgeon. First Minister of Scotland.
Right.
I thought you could say Rangers.
No, Rangers. No, absolutely not Rangers. One of the Glasgow clubs or...
No.
Nope. Right. Is it where she's from?
Yes.
Give me a coast or a
west.
Central or whatever. West. Ooh, crikey. Air United.
Well done. Air United supporter.
Oh,
Nicola
lovely.
Sturgeon.
Good stuff.
Right. This one you just won't get in a million years, but we're going to go for it. Nigel Farage.
Royal Antwerp.
According to Twitter in 2014 and in an interview, he supports Crystal Palace.
No, he doesn't.
As does, and I don't like this man, but is a genuine Crystal Palace fan, Chuka Omuna. Who used to sell pies
at
Selhurst Park. And my favourite one by a long way is Vince Cable.
Vince Cable is... small team?
Small team.
I'm going to say Vince Cable supports... Luton Town.
In the sort of right sort of ballpark, like... Vince Cable apparently goes like he's a keen interest in the team or whatever, and is a big fan of the Minster Men, York City.
Oh, lovely stuff!
A big
York City supporter.
So there you go. There are some footballers and supposedly the teams they support, and some that they probably actually support.
All right, nice one. Okay. Blair always said he was a Newcastle fan, didn't
did he?
Yeah, because his constituency was somewhere up there.
Well, it was County Durham, was his. Yeah. It was Sedgefield, where my
that's right. Yeah, yeah,
girlfriend's
yeah.
from.
Yeah, so he always professed to be a big to be a big Newcastle fan. Yeah, Cameron said he supported Spurs, which weirdly Prince William is also a big Villa fan.
Yeah,
for some
Prince
reason.
William, but Prince William, like, I saw this video of Prince William actually, you know, like talking to people, like, you know, on the street or whatever, and was actually like talking like what I would call as real football stuff, not just like fluff stuff.
Yeah,
so I was like, fair enough.
I actually he was featured on Match of the Day when Villa played away at Norwich, and it was just a family day out for him,
yeah.
which I quite like.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Ian Blackford, who's the current head of the SNP down in Westminster, when Berko was retiring, said that he should reconsider and he should support the mighty Hibernian instead, because Ian Blackford is a big Hibs fan.
Yeah.
But I really question the choice of using the term mighty Hibernian when Hibernian right now are shite and have just punted their manager.
Oh, fair enough. Right.
That's about us.
That was a fun politics stroke football quiz. I enjoyed that.
Glad.
Yeah. That was a hot for me.
Uh-huh. But the knot is that there's not enough of this sort of like football sort of chat around the election cycle. Do it. It makes it fun.
Yeah. Who would Tomio support?
Who would Tomio support? Tommy is a hockey boy by a long way.
You reckon?
For sure. Because there's... Well, I don't know. Which... Sparta, because you can still boot
That's
black
what I was
players
thinking, yeah. I was thinking absolutely Sparta. Yeah. All the way. Prague, populist, you're allowed to be racist.
Yeah.
That's absolutely who we go for. On that bombshell, we're going to play you out with a spectacular piece of tomfoolery here. I urge you to check out the video for this.
Yes.
Because it's bonkers. It's nearly as bonkers or more bonkers than the original video. Because the original video is something special.
It's quite
so
bad.
Yeah, it is. Like and subscribe on wherever you get your podcasts. Follow us at Sparovcast on Facebook and Twitter. And we will be coming back to you with one of our winter specials in two weeks' time. Yes.
In 2 weeks, because you lucky people, you've had two Sparovcasts weekly because of the end of the season. As always, if you have any ideas of things you would like to hear on Sparovcast...
Not that we're struggling.
...during the winter
but we are
break,
struggling.
Any recommendations are more than welcome.
Yep.
And please let us know if you enjoyed the 11s, because we may have to use them as a crutch for episodes until the winter winter league comes. So. Yeah.
Okay, so we're going to play you out with this.
Ta-da!
Jsem to já z nebe spadlá, dny jsou mi dlouhé, taky týdny dlouhé mám. Jsem to já, nic nenadělám, lásce se rouhej, radí ďábel sám a já. Jsem to já, marně volám všechna jména a cítím málo jistot, nevím, kam se mám dát. Jsem to já, jak biblická Magdaléna, skrývám svou duši čistou cítit, je jiné než znát. Tvárne, věčně zralé k náhlým zatmění. Srdce mám párne, láska se mi peklem odmění. Já už znám svá trápení, čas, kdy soudnost láska stíní. Co dá se žádat od ženy, v srdce mé je stálý viník. Vždyť tam, že je přímo z nás dvou, a obě jen žou, je to krása víc ve srdce zatemnělé. Chybou strach jsou ženy znovu nedospělé, nedospělé. Láska to je opět zároveň i kam, kdy stříhá světlo stíny a nedá se spát. Mé srdce každodenní má stále stejná zatmění, mé srdce bývá zatmění. Zkušenosti to nemůžou dát nebo vzít, už se asi se své, co má být. Zkuš zkušenosti ty mi můžou dát nebo vzít, už se asi neproměním. Já zatmění mám na srdci svém, co má být. Na srdci svém, co má být.